Do another mantra. Jaya Gaura Bhaktagana. Say it like this. Jaya Gaura Bhaktagana. Gaura Yanra Prana. Sabha Bhakti Mili. Mori Bhakti Dehadana. So that was spoken by Haridas Thakur, and it's the translation is, all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the Lord is their life and soul. All of you kindly bestow devotional service upon me. It's a very nice prayer to say to the devotees, because the devotees are the source of devotional service. Just like I mentioned in the last class, the most auspicious thing, the only auspicious thing, is the association of Krishna's devotees. So Prabhupada would explain that Krishna is in the hands of the devotees. He's in the heart and the hands of the devotees. So if you want Krishna, you find Krishna by finding the devotees. So Haridas Thakur understood this, and he prayed to the devotees of Chaitanya, you please bestow devotional service upon me. So today I wanted to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjhalila, chapter 4, Sri Madhavendra Puri's devotional service. So what I will do is I'll read the summary, and then we'll skip some verses because it's a very long chapter, and focus on a few parts of this story. Prabhupada comments in the introduction to this chapter. In his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the following summary of the fourth chapter. Passing along the path of Chatrabhoga and coming to Vrida Mantesvara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached the border of Orissa. On his way, he enjoyed transcendental bliss by chanting and begging alms in different villages. In this way, he reached the celebrated village of Ramuna, where there is a deity of Gopinath. There he narrated the story of Madhavendra Puri as he had heard it from his spiritual master Isvara Puri. The narration is as follows. One night while in Govardhan, Madhavendra Puri dreamed that the Gopal deity was within the forest. The next morning, he invited his neighborhood friends to accompany him to excavate the deity from the jungle. He then established the deity of Sri Gopalaji on top of Govardhan Hill with great pomp. Gopal was worshipped and the Anakuta festival was observed. This festival was known everywhere, and many people from the neighboring villages came to join. One night, the Gopal deity again appeared in Madhavendra Puri in a dream and asked him to go to Jagannath Puri to collect some sandalwood pulp and smear it on the body of the deity. Having received this order, Madhavendra Puri immediately started for Orissa. Traveling through Bengal, he reached Ramuna village and there received a pot of condensed milk, shira, offered to the deity of Gopinathaji. This pot of condensed milk was stolen by Gopinath and delivered to Madhavendra Puri. Since then, the Gopinath deity has been known as Shira Chora Gopinath, the deity who stole the pot of condensed milk. After reaching Jagannath Puri, Madhavendra Puri received permission from the king to take out one mound of sandalwood and 20 tolas of camphor. Aided by two men, he brought these things to Ramuna. Again, he saw in a dream that Gopal at Govardhan Hill desired that very sandalwood to be turned into pulp mixed with camphor and smeared over the body of Gopinathaji. Understanding that that would satisfy the Gopal Didi at Govardhan, Madhavendra Puri executed the order and returned to Jagannath Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu narrated this story for Lord Nityananda Prabhu and other devotees and praised the pure devotional service of Madhavendra Puri. When he recited some verses composed by Madhavendra Puri, he went into an ecstatic mood. But when he saw that many people were assembled, he checked himself and ate some sweet rice prasadam. Thus he passed that night, and the next morning he again started for Jagannath Puri. So that is a summary. Introduction tells the whole story. It's an amazing story of the great Madhavendra Puri. I will read some of the verses, then skip along, so that because we don't have that much time. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Madhavendra Puri, who was given a pot of sweet rice, stolen by Sri Gopinath, celebrated thereafter as Shirachura, being pleased by Madhavendra Puri's love. Sri Gopal, the deity at Govardhan, appeared to the public vision. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu, all glories to Advaita Prabhu, and all glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. The Lord went to Jagannath Puri and visited Lord Jagannath's temple. He also met with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. All these pastimes have been elaborately explained by Vrindavan Das Thakur in his book Chaitanya Bhagavat. By nature, all the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very wonderful and sweet, and when they are described by Vrindavan Das Thakur, they become like a shower of nectar. Therefore, I very humbly submit that since these incidents have already been nicely described by Vrindavan Das Thakur, I would be very proud to repeat the same thing, and this would not be very good. I do not have such powers. I'm therefore presenting only a synopsis of these events already described elaborately by Vrindavan Das Thakur in his Chaitanya Mangala, known as Chaitanya Bhagavat. I'm going to skip ahead. The deity was known widely as Shirachura Gopinath, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his devotees the story of how the deity became so famous. Formerly, the deity had stolen a pot of sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri. Therefore, he became very famous as the Lord who stole the sweet rice. Once Sri Madhavendra Puri travelled to Vrindavan, where he came upon the hill known as Govardhan. Madhavendra Puri was almost mad in his ecstasy of love of Godhead, and he did not know whether it was day or night. Sometimes he stood up, sometimes he fell to the ground. He could not discriminate whether he was in a proper place or not. After circumambulating the hill, Madhavendra Puri went to Govardhan Kund and took his bath. He then sat beneath a tree to take his evening rest. Who has circumambulated Govardhan here? Have you circumambulated Govardhan? Anyone? You have? Just the one? A few? Yeah. It's a very special experience. You're supposed to do it with no shoes, and the sand is very fine. It's like talcum powder, super fine grains, and it's very hot. So it's like walking on a hot plate in the summer. But you're in so much ecstasy that you tolerate it. But it's quite amazing, and it takes many hours, maybe 6 hours, to do it. So there are some people in Govardhan, they take an extra austerity and they do dandavat parikrama, and they offer dandavats all the way around. It can sometimes take many, many weeks. It's extreme austerity. And then you'll see a married couple where the husband will pay obeisances, and then the wife will pay obeisances behind him, and as he pays obeisances, her head will touch his feet. So she'll be touching his feet all the way around. It's quite amazing to see. So, should Madhavendra Puri also do parikrama? He was mad in ecstasy. So, after doing a parikrama, he sat at Govinda Kund. He took his bath, and then he sat beneath the tree known as And then while he was sitting there, an unknown cowherd boy came and gave him a pot of milk. He placed it before Madhavendrapuri, smiling, and addressed him as follows: "Oh, Madhavendrapuri, please drink the milk I have brought. Why don't you beg some food to eat? What kind of meditation are you undergoing?" When he saw the beauty of that boy, Madhavendrapuri became very satisfied. Hearing his sweet words, he forgot all hunger and thirst. Madhavendrapuri said, "Who are you? Where do you reside? And how did you know that I was fasting?" The boy replied, "Sir, I'm a cowherd boy, and I reside in this village. In my village, no one fasts. In this village, a person can beg food from others and thus eat. Some people drink only milk. But if a person does not ask anyone for food, I supply him all eatables. The women who came here to take water saw you, and they supplied me with this milk and sent me to give it to you." The boy continued, "I must go very soon to milk the cows, but I shall return and take back this milk pot from you." Saying this, the boy left the place. Indeed, he suddenly could not be seen no more, and Madhavendrapuri's heart was filled with wonder. Who was that? After drinking the milk, Madhavendrapuri washed the pot and put it aside. He looked toward the path, but the boy never returned. Madhavendrapuri could not sleep. He sat and chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and at the end of the night he dozed a little, and his external activity stopped. In a dream, Madhavendrapuri saw the very same boy. The boy came before him, holding his hand, and took him to a bush in the jungle. The boy showed Madhavendrapuri the bush and said, "I reside in this bush, and because of this, I suffer very much from severe cold, rain showers, wind, and scorching heat. Please bring the people of the village and get them to take me out of this bush. Then have them situate me nicely on top of the hill. Please construct the temple on top of that hill," the boy continued, "and install me in that temple. After this, wash me with large quantities of cold water so that my body may be cleansed. For many days I have been observing you, and I have been wondering, when will Madhavendrapuri come here to serve me? I have accepted your service due to your ecstatic love for me. Thus I shall appear, and by my audience, all fallen souls will be delivered. My name is Gopal. I am the lifter of Govardhan Hill. I was installed by Raja, and here I am, the authority." When the Muslims attacked, the priest who was serving me hid me in this bush in the jungle. Then he ran away out of fear of the attack. Since the priest went away, I have been staying in this bush. It is very good that you have come here now. Just now remove me with care. After saying this, the boy disappeared. Then Madhavendrapuri woke up and began to consider his dream. Madhavendrapuri began to lament, "I saw Lord Krishna directly, but I could not recognize him." Thus he fell down on the ground in ecstatic love. Madhavendrapuri cried for some time, but then he fixed his mind on executing the order of Gopal. Thus he became tranquil. Imagine being in that situation. Krishna comes to you, gives you milk, and you just think it's just some ordinary cowherd boy, and then later on you realize it was Krishna. How frustrating that would be. Like, Krishna actually was in front of me and I didn't know. So he was in so much anxiety after this. But it made his devotion, his love for Gopal even stronger. So after taking his morning bath, Madhavendrapuri entered the village and assembled all the people. He then spoke as follows: "The proprietor of this village, Govardhandari, is lying in the bushes. Let us go there and rescue him from this place. The bushes are very dense and we will not be able to enter the jungle. Therefore take choppers and spades and clear the way." After hearing this, all the people accompanied Madhavendrapuri with great pleasure. According to his directions, they cut down bushes, cleared a path, and entered the jungle. When they saw the deity covered with dirt and grass, They were all struck with wonder and pleasure. After they had cleansed the body of the Didi, some of them said, "The Didi is very heavy. No single person can move him." Since the Didi was very heavy, some of the stronger men assembled to carry him to the top of the hill. Madhavendrapuri also went there. A big stone was made into a throne, and the Didi was installed upon it. Another big stone was placed behind the Didi for support. All the Brahmana priests of the village gathered together with 9 water pots, and water from Govardhan Kund Lake was brought there and filtered. When the Didi was being installed, 900 pots of water were brought from Govardhan Kund. There were musical sounds of bugles and drums and the singing of women. 900 pots. During the festival, at the installation ceremony, some people sang and some danced. All the milk, yogurt, and clarified butter in the village were brought to the festival. Various foods and sweetmeats, as well as other kinds of presentations, were brought there. I'm unable to describe them all. The villagers brought a large quantity of tulsi leaves, flowers, and various kinds of garments. Then Sri Madhavendrapuri personally began the Abhishek. After all auspicious things were driven away, inauspicious things were driven away by the chanting of the mantra, the Didi's bathing ceremony started. First, the Didi was massaged with a large quantity of oil, so that his body became very glossy. After the first bathing, further bathings were conducted with Panchagavya. Who knows what Panchagavya is? You know? Huh? Of the cow. There's Panchamrita and Panchagavya. Yeah. So the 5 products of the Panchagavya. And then with Panchamrita. Then the Mahasnan was performed with ghee and water, which had been brought in 100 pots. After the Mahasnan was finished, the Didi was again massaged with scented oil, and his body made glossy. Then the last bathing ceremony was performed with scented water kept within a conch shell. After the body of the Didi was cleansed, he was dressed very nicely with new garments. Then sandalwood pulp, tulsi garlands, and other fragrant flowers, garlands, were placed upon the body of the deity. After the bathing ceremony was finished, incense and lamps were burned, and all kinds of food offered before the deity. These foods included yogurt, milk, and as many sweetmeats as were received. The deity was first offered varieties of food, then scented drinking water in new pots, and then water for washing the mouth. Finally, pan mixed with a variety of spices was offered. After the last offering of tambula and pan, bhoga arti was performed. Finally, everyone offered various prayers and then obeisances, falling flat before the Didi in full surrender. As soon as the people of the village had understood that the Didi was going to be installed, they had brought their entire stock of rice, dal, and wheat flour. They brought such large quantities that the entire surface of the top of the hill was filled. Imagine, the entire hill was covered with prasadam. When the village brought their stock of rice, dal, and flour, the potters of the village brought all kinds of cooking pots. And in the morning, the cooking began. 10 brahmanas cooked the food grains, and 5 brahmanas cooked both dry and liquid vegetables. The vegetable preparations were made from various kinds of spinach, roots, and fruits collected from the forest. And someone made butter and buddy by mashing dal. In this way, the brahmanas prepared all kinds of food. 5 to 7 men prepared a huge quantity of chapatis, which were completely covered with ghee, clarified butter, as were all the vegetables, rice, and dal. All the cooked rice was stacked on palasa leaves, which were on new cloths spread over the ground. Around the stack of cooked rice were stacks of chapatis. Just envision this, imagine it, stacks of chapatis. And all the vegetables and liquid vegetable preparations were placed in different pots and put around. Pots of yogurt, pots of milk, buttermilk, sicarini, sweet rice, cream, and solid cream were placed alongside the vegetables. In this way, the Anakuta ceremony was performed, and Madhavendra Puri Goswami personally offered everything to Gopal. Many water pots were filled with scented water for drinking, and Lord Sri Gopal, who had been hungry for many days, ate everything offered to him. Although Sri Gopal had everything offered, still, by the touch of his transcendental hand, everything remained as before. How Gopal ate everything while the food remained the same was transcendentally perceived by Madhavendra Puri Goswami. Nothing remains a secret to the devotees of the Lord. The wonderful festival and installation of Sri Gopalaji was arranged in one day. Certainly all this was accompanied by the potency of Gopal. No one but a devotee can understand this. Madhavendra Puri offered water to Gopal for washing his mouth, and he gave him betel nuts to chew. Then while Adi was performed, all the people chanted, Jai, Jai! Arranging for the Lord's rest, Sri Madhavendra Puri bought a new cot, and over this he spread a new bedspread and thus made the bed ready. A temporary temple was constructed by covering the bed all around with straw mattress. Thus there was a bed and a straw mattress to cover it. After the Lord was laid down to rest on the bed, Madhavendra Puri gathered all the brahmanas who had prepared the prasadam and said to them, Now feed everyone sumptuously, from the children on up to the aged. All the people gathered there sat down to honor the prasadam, and by and by they took food. All the brahmanas and their wives were first fed. Those who took prasadam included not only the people of Govardhan village, but also those who came from other villages. They also saw the deity of Gopal and were offered prasadam to eat. Seeing the influence of Madhavendra Puri, all the people gathered were struck with wonder. Jai Shishi Gonitai. They saw that the Anakuta ceremony, which had been performed before during the time of Krishna, was now taking place again by the mercy of Sri Madhavendra Puri. All the brahmanas present on the occasion were initiated by Madhavendra Puri into the Vaishnava cult, and Madhavendra Puri engaged them in different types of service. So, of course, Krishna did this original puja, right, when he lifted Govardhan Hill. So this was a revival of a very ancient ceremony, and everyone was in ecstasy, thinking of the pastimes of Krishna. So after taking rest, the deity must be awakened at the end of the day, and immediately some food and some water must be offered to him. When it was advertised throughout the country that Lord Gopal had appeared atop Govardhan Hill, all the people from neighboring villages came to see the deity. One village after another was pleased to beg Madhavendra Puri to allot them one day to perform the Anakuta ceremony. Thus, day after day, the Anakuta ceremony was performed for some time. So they did this day after day, the same thing. Sri Madhavendra Puri did not eat anything throughout the day, but at night, after laying the deity down to rest, he took a milk preparation. The next morning, the rendering of service to the deity began again, and people from the village arrived with all kinds of food grains. So, I actually didn't have internet connection. I needed to read something here. Is there internet here in the temple here?
Sometimes not working.
Sometimes not working?
Well, is it working? Connection, or you just need a password?
Just a password. What is it?
1SK0N50.
It's gone 50. That doesn't work.
No.
No. There's one.
Let me see.
ISKCON.
One.
Oh, there's a C in there.
Yeah.
You missed a C. I think that worked. So I'm up to verse 93, and we'll read the purport because it's a very amazing purport. 93. So the verse is Anagrita Dadi Dugda. Gramiyata chila Gopalera agye loka aniyadarila. The inhabitants of the village brought to the deity of Gopal as much food grains, ghee, yogurt and milk as they had in their village. Prabhupada comments, Anagrita, Dadi and Dugda are food grains, ghee, yogurt and milk. Actually, these are the basis of all food. Vegetables and fruits are subsidiary. Hundreds and thousands of preparations can be made out of grains, vegetables, ghee, milk and yogurt. The food offered to Gopal in the Anakuta ceremony contained only these five ingredients. Only demoniac people are attracted to other types of food, which we will not even mention in this connection. We should understand that in order to prepare nutritious food, we require only grains, ghee, yogurt and milk. We cannot offer anything else to the deity. The Vaishnava, the perfect human being, does not accept anything not offered to the deity. People are often frustrated with national food policies, but from the Vedic scriptures, we find that if there are sufficient cows and grains, the entire food problem is solved. The Vaishyas, people engaged in agriculture and commerce, are therefore recommended in the Bhagavad Gita to produce grains and give protection to the cows. Cows are the most important animal because they produce the miracle food milk from which we can prepare ghee and yogurt. The perfection of human civilization depends on Krishna consciousness, which recommends deity worship. Preparations made from vegetables, grains, milk, ghee and yogurt are offered to the deity and then distributed. Here we can see the difference between the East and the West. The people who come to see the deity of Gopal brought all kinds of food to offer the deity. They brought all the food they had in stock, and they came before the deity not only to accept prasadam for themselves, but to distribute it to others. The Krishna consciousness movement vigorously approves this practice of preparing food, offering it to the deity, and distributing it to the general population. This activity should be extended universally to stop sinful eating habits as well as other behavior befitting only demons. A demoniac civilization will never bring peace within this world. Since eating is the first necessity in human society, those engaged in solving the problems of preparing and distributing food should take lessons from Madhavendra Puri and execute the Anakuta ceremony. When the people take to eating only prasadam offered to the deity, all the demons will be turned into Vaishnavas. When the people are Krishna conscious, naturally the government will also be also. A Krishna conscious man is always a liberal well-wisher of everyone. When such men head the government, the people will certainly be sinless. They will no longer be disturbing demons. It is then and then only that a peaceful condition can prevail in society. There's a very powerful commentary by Prabhupada encouraging those engaged in prasadam distribution to take the example of Madhavendra Puri and execute it unlimitedly. Prabhupada specifically says in this purport, he says this activity should be extended universally. So sometimes we have heard criticism where people say, oh, prasadam distribution should only be in the temple and within 10 miles of the temple. This is what Prabhupada said. But they are taking that comment that Prabhupada made out of context. When Prabhupada made that comment, he was speaking generally and specifically in the context of back then, in 1974, when the Mayapur temple was very small and they had very few devotees, he was suggesting a program that was manageable and doable for them at the time you know, considering their time, place, and circumstance. So he says, yes, we should not allow anyone to go hungry within 10 miles. Right? Well, at least we can do that much. But in other parts of the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and in conversations, Prabhupada says everyone should get prasadam. Everyone should get a chance to take prasadam. This activity should be extended universally. So it's very clear here that he wasn't limiting prasadam distribution. So to say that it's only for the temple, it's only within 10 miles, is actually false. It's a misunderstanding and a misrepresentation of the truth that Prabhupada was conveying. So prasadam is absolutely essential for people to become Krishna conscious. This is something that we have to be very clear on, that Prabhupada said often, spiritual life begins with the tongue. He also said, a meat eater cannot understand God. So we can preach and preach and preach and distribute books and give the most amazing lecture and convincing arguments, but if people have not changed their eating habits, they will never understand what we're telling them. It will never, the seed of bhakti will never be planted. Changing the diet is essential to invoking Krishna consciousness. And we all have this practical experience. Every single one of you, without exception, I guarantee, came to Krishna consciousness after you took prasadam and after you started changing your eating habits. Before then, it was all intellectual. You liked it, you were intrigued by it, but it was only when you changed your diet, you started eating prasadam, you stopped eating meat, then only did you have the impetus, the motivation, the intense desire to actually join the temple and start chanting Hare Krishna and become a devotee. Every single one. There's no exception in this case. Every single devotee in the movement, if they're honest, they'll admit this. Because that's a scientific fact. Until we actually change our eating habits, we cannot take up Krishna consciousness. We cannot understand it. The subtle aspects of Krishna consciousness will evade us. So, therefore Prabhupada says that since eating is the first necessity of human society, it's the first thing people consider, right? When you get your money from your wages from work, the first thing you consider, okay, what are we going to buy this week for food? What are we going to eat? You think about your food storage and what is lacking and how you can add to that and what meals you're going to prepare. This is the basic necessity of life. So therefore, those engaged in solving this problem of food, Prabhupada says, should take lessons from Madhavendra Puri. But more importantly, he says that the Krishna consciousness movement vigorously, when you say vigorously, that's intense, right? Vigor. That's an intense statement. You're adding an intensity to the command here. If I say, you know, please, can you get me some prasadam? Right? But if I say it in a vigorous tone, can you get me prasadam now? It's like immediately you take it, you pay attention. You realize I'm hungry, right? Can you get me this now? You say it vigorously, with intensity, with vigor, right? So the Krishna consciousness movement vigorously approves this practice of preparing food, offering it to the deity, and distributing it to the general population. This activity should be extended universally to stop sinful eating habits, as well as other behavior befitting only demons. It's very clear. Cannot be any clearer. Prasadam distribution is absolutely essential to spread this movement. We cannot spread this movement just by book distribution alone. Not possible. Impossible. Absolutely impossible. has to be prasadam as well. You could flood this world with 10 zillion books. It would not have the same effect as if you gave them prasadam as well. That's just the fact. We have to change the sinful eating habits of these people. And the best way to do that is to give them the experience. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one gives up the lower taste by experiencing the higher taste. It's right there in the Bhagavad Gita. They give up the lower taste when they experience the higher taste. We have to give them the opportunity to take prasadam. So Prabhupada says in another part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that everyone should be given a chance to take prasadam and thus be induced to chant the holy name. This is in reference to the story of Shivananda Shane when he liberated the dog. Right? Everyone knows that story. Prabhupada says everyone should be given a chance to take prasadam. So when I meditated on that many years ago, I realized then and there that we had to take this prasadam culture and expand it even beyond ISKCON. Prasadam is not the exclusive domain of the Hare Krishna movement, as I mentioned in my earlier class. This concept of offering food, of making some sacrificial offering of food, this is traditional all over the world. Every spiritual culture has some form of offering food. But in the Krishna consciousness movement, we have perfected it. We have a more formal, more structured process. But this idea of offering food is not a new idea. It's not a unique concept. So I propose that we take this prasadam culture and we teach people about it. We give them the experience and then we teach them how to make their own offerings at home. We empower them with knowledge, just like the famous example, teach a man how to fish. In our sattvic version of that is teach a man how to make a pakora, right? Teach him how to make pakoras rather than just feeding him pakoras, right? So at home he can make his own pakoras, he can feed himself. So we empower them with knowledge. This is a Brahminical culture, is that the Brahmanas are interested in educating and empowering the citizens with knowledge so that they can do their devotional service, their vana, according to their vana. They do their activity according to their vana and ashram. So we have to think much bigger than these four walls here and think that, the Krishna consciousness movement in Slovenia is simply this temple and that's it. We have to understand that this Krishna consciousness, this gift of bhakti, is our responsibility to share it with as many people as possible. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he begged and he humbly asked, please, will you join me? I am one gardener. I need many people to help me spread these fruits of love of Godhead. He asked us, please help me spread these fruits. So we spread that fruit. We plant those seeds, not just as books, but as prasadam, as empowering people, as educating and training them in devotional service, so that they can take this Krishna consciousness and apply it in their own life according to their time, place and circumstances. Everyone's on a unique path. No one is on the same path. Every one of us is very unique. We have our own set of experiences, our own set of skills, our own circumstances that we have to contend with. And so the idea is we have to give people Krishna so that they can purify that situation. Give them the solution to solve their personal problems, their personal circumstances, so they can make their way back to Krishna. And prasadam is a critical component in this formula. Never underestimate it. And sometimes we tend to. We think it's just all about the chanting. or it's just about the philosophy. People just need to be convinced. No, they have to have the experience of prasadam. They have to change their eating habits. Their tongues have to be purified. And only then can they become Krishna conscious. So this is a wonderful story to meditate on and to be inspired by. And to understand that, you know, this Krishna consciousness movement is actually very simple. The process is really, really simple. Chanting, dancing, prasadam. And the books are here. All these amazing books that Prabhupada's offered us are here to convince us of these things. Madhavendrapuri ki jai. Anyone have any comments? Or questions? Yes.
I learned from Muslim family in a Muslim country.
Muslim, okay.
I have some experience and I would like to ask this is two points that especially Muslims people can't understand about this. Worship deity and offering prasadam to the deity, food to the deity is like worship idols.
Right.
And prasadam is some like in Muslim family they don't understand why we should offer food for anybody, any gods, any demigods, anybody. And this is some like perhaps in English from Persian, it's an anamia. Black magic, okay.
Black magic.
Persons in a mood of darkness, think about that. And that is most of my experience. What do you think about your
It's a tricky one. But there are aspects in Islam that are that do you know, synergize with Krishna consciousness. I mean, there are aspects like there's a mercy factor. Like in the tradition there's this the importance of charity and mercy is promoted. It's called, from what I understand, it's called there's a word for that. Zaka, yeah. So the Prophet of Muhammad, he said, whoever is kind to the creatures of God is kind to himself. Did you know that? There's a quote from Muhammad. Whoever is kind to the creatures of God is kind to himself. So I'm going to read from my book, Food Yoga, where I talk a little bit about the mercy tradition within Islam, which may answer what you're asking. So, absolutely no killing is allowed as pilgrims approach Mecca. Did you know that? So when you're approaching Mecca, you cannot do any sort of killing, including even lice, ants, grasshoppers, and mosquitoes. You cannot. It's against the rule. You're not allowed to kill when you're approaching Mecca. On the way to Mecca for the pilgrimage, you cannot do any killing. If a pilgrim sees an insect on the ground, he will gesture his friends to be careful to avoid treading on it. This is in the pure form of Islam. This example illustrates that while Islam is not generally viewed as a religion that promotes vegetarianism and kindness to animals, the Islamic tradition does have a lot to say about how people should relate to the animal world. Indeed, there are numerous examples of Muhammad showing his compassion to animals. In his story of Muhammad the Prophet, Bilqis al-Adn quotes the Prophet. This is a quote. Show sympathy to others, especially to those who are weaker than you. According to other biographical accounts, Muhammad has been quoted as saying, where there is an abundance of vegetables, hosts of angels will descend on that place. So in terms of charity, zakat, alms or giving it means. One of the five pillars of Islam is the charitable giving of a small percentage of one's possessions, surplus wealth, including food, generally to poor and the needy Muslim individuals. Often compared to the system of tithing and alms, zakah serves principally as an Islamic welfare service to poor and deprived Muslims, although others are not excluded. The Islamic community has a duty not only collect zakat, but to distribute it equitably as well. The Quran states, "By no means shall you attain righteousness unless you give that which you love." Zakat is sometimes referred to as sadaqah, and it is plural sadaqat. Generally, the sharing of wealth is called zakat, whereas zadkat can mean sharing wealth or sharing happiness among God's creatures, creation, such as speaking kindly, smiling at someone, taking care of animals, and the environment. Zakat or zadkah is therefore considered worship and is a means of spiritual purification. It is not seen as a tax burden, but rather serves a socio-financial system of Islam by redistributing the wealth among the poor and needy. There is no disagreement among Muslims about the obligatory nature of zakat. It simply must be done. Throughout the Islamic history, denying zakat equals denying the Islamic faith. However, the Muslim jurists differ on many details of zakat, each having their own opinion and arguments on matters such as frequency of distribution, exemptions, and the types of wealth that are zakatable. Most scholars consider all agricultural products zakatable. Zakat has been compared with such a high sense of righteousness that it is often placed on the same level of importance as offering salat. Muslims also see this act as a way of purifying themselves from greed and selfishness while protecting good business relationships. In addition, zakat purifies recipients because it saves them from the humiliation of begging and prevents them from envying the rich. Because zakat holds such a high level of importance in the culture, it is stated, "The prayers of those who do not pay zakat will not be accepted." So there's some comment on charity within the tradition. But yeah, obviously, the thing about, you know, worshipping the idol, they have a problem with that. And therefore, there's a history of Muslims actually smashing Hindu idols and Christian idols. What can you say? Only that there are many spiritual paths, many religious traditions. Some are more developed than others. Some are more pious or more in the mode of goodness than others. Each one of them has their benefit. Each one of them has their good points, wherein they're in some way or other encouraging the aspirant to look to God, to pray, to be humble, to perform sacrifice, you know, to move in the spiritual direction. But obviously, in Krishna consciousness, we believe that there's a much more developed spiritual tradition, and it is much more in the mode of goodness, and therefore much more effective in liberating someone from this material world. And one can see it, one can experience this. And as if you're coming from that tradition, now you're experiencing this tradition, you must have really good realizations on the difference between the two, and the effects of both on your consciousness, right? How they've both impacted your consciousness, right? You could probably speak on this yourself, like how this Krishna consciousness has been a much more powerful experience on awakening your spiritual consciousness. So the taste, the proof is in the pudding. We don't deny anyone from this process of Krishna consciousness. So we encourage people, if you don't want to chant Krishna, chant the name of Allah. But don't kill animals. offer your, you know, vegetarian food to Krishna, to God, to Allah. The process, in essence, is universal, and it can be implied in it. It can be applied to any tradition, if one is sincere. And of course, the idea, you know, the deities are there. Really, is the primary reason for the deities is to train us, to recondition our mind, to understand that God is a person, that we can actually have a relationship with God. And that's the main purpose of the deities, is to bring us out of this illusion of impersonalism, and to understand that God has a form, that God is someone that we can actually have a relationship with, a personal relationship with. It's very, very, very beautiful. And the food offerings are simply one practical way to cultivate that relationship. Anyone else have any questions or comments? Madhavendra Puri, Ki Jai, Prasadam Distribution, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.